Yeah.
Rav Chaim Morgenstern.
Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure again to speak for the Start of the Day program on my annual visit to Manchester. And as usual, my tradition is in the back half of the magazines from Arachim, which you can take, feel free to take, the organization that I represent. Also, this year I'm selling my new book that came out in the Parsha called The Parsha for You, and CDs and booklets. If you're interested, you can look at them after the shiur. The title of today's shiur is Holding On to Inspiration or Retaining Inspiration. And I begin with this week's, the first Rashi in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Yisrei. Rashi says, Vayishma Yisrei, and Yisrei heard. What did he hear? Mashmua Shoma. What did he hear, Zok Rashi? Mashmua Shoma, Mashmua, Shoma Uva Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Samalai. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Samalai. So Sisi Chachom explains, what is Rashi trying to say over here? Perish Mibnei Manis Oirer Lovoi. Why did he come to be Megayer? What was the reason? He's heard Muhammad Samalek and he heard Kriyas Yamsuf. So the obvious question is that Bishleima Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard an earth-shattering event. The Egyptians were the superpower of the generation. And Moshe Rabbeinu and with his nisim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, brought them to their knees, literally, killed them all out to Bukharis, all the makas. He heard them. They were shmetted. So he realized that, you know, as he said, give us a trace a little bit. They'd have inspired. But what was this thing about Muhammad Samalek? What did he see in Muhammad Samalek that inspired him? So, in the first thing, I want to go first, Kasha first. Being inspired, the question is, what happened to all the other nations? We say every day in Oz Yashir, Oz Nifalu Elufa Yadayim, right? They were stunned by it. Eli Mayov Echazim Rod, they trembled. Tivalei Mosav Vachad, they descended fear upon them, right? And what happened? They were afraid to arrest the Yidden. But Yisrael just wasn't afraid. He took action. And that was the inspiration that he had. In other words, when he saw something, he took action in order to become a Yid. He wanted to do something. He saw also that they broke the ice, that Amalek broke the ice for the other nations to attack the Kal Yisrael. And we say, we'll speak about Amalek later. So I just wanted to mention now about the Indian of being inspired. We all get moments of inspiration, whether it's an Elul, when it approaches, you have the Shoef and Slichas, Erev Rosh Hashanah, longest Slichas, on Rosh Hashanah, Zeris Meitshuv and Ne'ilah. What happens after Ne'ilah? On Ne'ilah we're on a high. All of a sudden we're busy preparing ourselves for Sukkot, and then we have the Simchas Beis Shoeva, we have family get-togethers in the Sukkot, v'chulei v'chulei. After Sukkot, it seems that Yom Kippur is something of the past. It comes 1 month later in Yud Cheshvin, right? We realize we Yom Kippur. Yeah, we saw it previously. What happened to the inspiration? There's a kenes, there's a gathering on Sneas, on Shabbos, and Lashon Hara. You come home excited. Wow, what a speaker. He's such an inspiring speaker. The next day, you're back to normal. A while ago, I gave a shiur once on Friday night between Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv on the inyan of not speaking business on Shabbos. People speak business on Shabbos, you know how much it costs, what are you doing, never go, never go, won't go into Pratim. So afterwards, you know, after I spoke about it, so I come out after Mar, we go going home, there's a whole huddle of younger lights speaking with each other. So one of them, I don't know if they were speaking about the Rashi or my Drasha. One looked at me, the rabbi's coming. right away, now I'm going to shift to this. What happened to the inspiration? We have 3 weeks, right, that we were in Avelis, more or less, until Tisha B'Av, the climax of the Avelis. What happens by Tisha B'Av? We're waiting until we can take the first shower, then we take the first swim, probably we can put the music on. We find that, so what happened? What's going on here? Why do people lack this inspiration? We find this laxity of inspiration in the Midbar. It says, by the Chet Egel, Soru Maher Min HaDerech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. They quickly deviated from the Derech. Rabbi Yeruchim Zok, it's less than 6 weeks from Matan Torah. They saw Kadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. Kailis Uvrachim, and by the Yamsuf, they pointed, Shivcha Ze Kelivan Ve, they pointed to Kodesh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, it wore off. Soru Maher Menaderech. Today, we have seminars of Bali Tshuvas, whether it's Eishat Torah, whether it's Arachim, well, people make seminars, and people are blown over by the seminar. Wow, proofs of the Torah, this and that, I got to change my life. But what happens afterwards? They leave the seminar, they go back to their lives. Again, the inspiration wears off. So therefore, what happens is that the organization that I work with, Arachim, so they don't just have a seminar, they have follow-up. That means after the seminar, we go to the people and we ask them if they'd like to do follow-up to keep the inspiration. If you don't follow up on the inspiration, nothing will happen. Now, how do you follow up? How do you keep the inspiration when a person hears something that inspires him? So I turn to the words of Rav Ram Apam. Rav Ram Apam said, after Yom Kippur, don't run away from Yom Kippur. He bases on the Gemara Masech to Brachas Avav on the base. A Yosef Beis HaKnesses al Yafsi Apsir Gasa. Don't run out of davening, because you lose the Yisairus. Don't run out after davening, right, to see who's calling, to check your emails, whatever it is. But don't run out there. Just stay a minute to absorb what you've davened, to absorb something, whatever kavanah you had. We find this also in Chazal. Chazal say that the Hasidim Rishonim used to spend 3 hours davening. An hour before davening, an hour during davening, and an hour after davening. So Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Yud Ruderman asked a question, the Rosh Yeshiva of Baltimore. He says, Bishlam before davening, they prepared themselves. Davening, they daven. What are we doing after davening? An hour. What's Tumen? They wanted to absorb it. They're sitting down. What did I gain from the davening? Of course, nobody can sit an hour after davening and sit and think what I gave in davening. Avayim should sit for 5 minutes. But the Cholapach, it's off to already. You can sit for 5 minutes. Don't run out of shul, as Chazal say. The same thing with Yom Kippur. We have Elul. We have 40 days from when we start blowing the shofar, the minig, which Kodesh Elul, until after Yom Kippur. What do you do after Yom Kippur? So you have to do, the first thing you do is you have to eat, is make a list of the resolutions, and look at them daily. So I tell everybody, take a small card. Nobody can write encoded messages, put in your wallet, put in your talis, and write certain things that you're going to work on that year. That's the way you retain Yom Kippur. Rav Avigdor Miller always used to say that after you hear an inspiring shiur or go through some type of inspiration, don't joke around. Why? Because Chazal say, Leitzonis achas is doicha elef teichachas. So if a person comes after Yom Kippur and says, the chazan was off tune, or this was all good, or his tie was crooked, or whatever it was, they make a joke about something, the whole inspiration is finished. So therefore, after an inspiring shiur, when a person gets inspiration, he should make sure to find ways to retain it, right, to act right away, right, to grab the moment, as I said, and the second thing is not to joke around. Don't run away from any type of inspiration. The same things with the shiur on Sliyas and Lashon Hara. Try to make small changes in your life. Take the shiur home with you with some resolutions, or else it will be lost. And BMS, this thing of being lost is a Rabbein Yonah in Shari Tshuva. Rabbein Yonah writes in the Shar Beis, Ois Chavav, on the Mishnah, Ein ani li, mi li. If not for me, who will inspire me? How will Musar achieve this inspiration? Right? Because they see it's a horror to cause a person to forget. As Zok Beferish. They see it's a horror to cause a person to forget inspiration. So if a person is not inspired, he should realize that the Yetzirah is fighting with him not to get inspired. And this is what Chazal say, that different terror is hard to acquire like Kli Zahav, but it's easy to lose like a glass. That glass breaks, it's finished. With this, I want to explain why we don't have Nisim Bizman Azeh, open Nisim. The Mavus of Ortra, Bisrael Salanta, somebody came over and asked him, why doesn't a Kodesh Baruch make Nisim? So I give it different teretz. He gave one teretz, he gave a different teretz, because people hear the Nisim, right? What's going to happen? They won't get expired. Kodesh Baruch, Rabbi Migdal used to say that Nisim are very expensive for Kodesh Baruch to do. When Kodesh Baruch made the world, by creating the world, he wanted the world to run b'teva. Didn't want to make miracles happen. So if a person, if a miracle does happen, he wants something to come about it. So if a person, right, sees a miracle and he doesn't change, it's a lost miracle. Kodesh Baruch doesn't want that. So therefore, that's one reason it could be why Hashem doesn't make open miracles. A friend of mine told me once a story that he was once in a taxi, and the taxi driver told him a very interesting incident that happened to him. He was in one of the wars, he was in one of the tanks in the Israeli army. I guess it was in the Gaza, because that's where they usually use the tanks. And he was in the tank division, and all of a sudden they received a command to advance. Advance, all the tanks run. So obviously they want to make an attack. His engine did not start. He couldn't start his motor. He tried. Not like a car where you can push it and give it a boost or whatever. It doesn't work. And they're stuck there. All the tanks are going, and they're stuck in the middle. Right? They're like a sitting duck. It's like, what's going to happen? The enemy can come over and just shoot them. Anyway, as they're trying to start the engine, all of a sudden they look out the window, a lot of firing and explosions, and they see it was an ambush. Somebody made a mistake or whatever it was, and all the tanks that advanced were being ambushed by the enemy, and his tank was left behind. Nothing happened. And at that moment, his engine started, so they made a reverse, and they retreated, and the whole people in the tank were saved. Now, if you know anything about tanks, tanks is a very dangerous thing to be in, because if something goes in, explodes, there's no place to run out. There's no escape hatch. So he told me. So the taxi driver told my friend that all those people in that tank did tshuva from that. They realized Kadosh Baruch Hu saved them. So my friend asked the taxi driver, "What about you?" He was not from yet. Kept quiet. Didn't do anything. So inspiration doesn't always help. It helps, but sometimes it doesn't work. When a person is inspired, he has to be careful not to overdo himself. Be over enthusiastic, because if you go too fast, what happens is you stress yourself out. There's the Yetzer Hara to make a person go too fast too soon. We say by Marev, Hosei Sotim Milfaneinu, Miyacharenu. So Milfaneinu is to stop us from doing mitzvahs. What's Miyacharenu? You can say either doing Averis. Miyacharenu is also another Peshat is, he's pushing us to do mitzvahs. Do more and more mitzvahs. Get stressed out. Because a person gets stressed out with the mitzvahs, he will not want to do any more. So you take on a chesed project, go all out to do chesed, it seems too much for you, you give it up. Same thing with davening, whatever, making a learning seder. If you do too much at one time, you say, I got to learn daf yomi, I got to learn 2 hours a day, and you see, you can't learn 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day. So you give it up. So therefore, you have to go on small increments, small time slots, how to work on your meters, whether it's chesed, whether it's davening. Don't take on the whole davening at one time. Don't take on the whole benching at one time. Take on little things, and that's the way you can work on yourself when you're making changes. Another type of inspiration is bringing happiness and joy into our lives by being inspired to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for what we have. Thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for what we have. Rav Rampam gives an interesting insight into this. In the Chumash Bereishis, it says when Leah had his son of Yehuda, so Apam Oide Es Hashem, I will praise Hashem. Leah called him Yehuda. Now what happened over here that she called him Yehuda? What was supposed to shop behind? This is the Chazal saying Brachas of Zayin with Beis. Miyoyim Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Esay Lomai Lehoya Adam Shehoida Lekadosh Baruch Hu Atshebosa Leah Vaidosai. From the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, right? Until Leah came, nobody praised the Kadosh Baruch Hu until Leah came. How's it shaykh? We have shame, noyach, all the tzaddikim, the avos, the imos. Nobody thanked the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible. Somebody had to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zokta Nei said Leah's praise was different. Leah's praise was very unique. Leah realized that with this fourth son, she would have more shvatim than everybody else. It's a unique schus now. Nobody else had four shvatim. So she wanted to remember it her whole life. So therefore she called him Yehuda. So whenever she called the name Yehuda, she remembered that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the fourth Shevet. Something to remember the whole life. Being she was inspired to remember. Derech Agav is a very good word to say over Bris. They named the kid Yehuda. It's a very good word to say over if you want to use this. And then he concludes also, Reb Ham, we say on Yom Tovim, Shechiyano. Mean it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us live, right, another year. Right, for another Yantef, another Tu B'Shvat, to say Shechiyano on fruits. Shechiyano v'kiyimono v'giyano lazman hazeh. Right? So we mean when you say it. And how does this apply to us? We have to constantly think about what we have and what we are missing. We have to count our blessings. Chazal say, Eze washer hasameach b'chalkai. One of the reasons why people are always sad and depressed is because they're never satisfied with what they have. They always want something more. Chazal say, Mishesh b'mona, right? It's a Messiah. So that's how if you want to appreciate life, you have to think of what you have now. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. If you want to appreciate your health, go one trip to the hospital, to the geriatric ward, and see what people never go through. One of my trips many years ago, I was riding with my host for Mincha, and there was a person on the corner stopping people, any from person in the car, and he wanted to make a minyan in his house. So you figure, what's the minyan about? About an ovel. So we stop, we park the car, we go into the house, and I go inside, and there's no ovel there. So I asked the person in the street over there, what are we supposed to do here? He said, go upstairs. So I went upstairs, very interesting sight. There's a man lying in the bed, 45 degree angle, propped up learning. He had a certain camera, and he was able to learn like this. He couldn't move his head. He had an oxygen tank attached to his bed, and he had a tube going into his lungs. Obviously, he goes, Nebuch, Nebuch person. I don't think he can talk either, but whatever. But that's how he was sitting. He was learning. Interesting side. The person must have to learn. He was learning with the Chavrusa there. Then we had a minyan for Mincha. We had a minyan came over. We had a Mincha in his house. And I had the place where I daven, I placed by the Aram Shank. And there's a picture of him, how he looked when he was healthy. Bein Yom V'Laila. So afterwards, I asked my host, what happened? What was this? What is this? He said, no, he's a rabbi. Once he had a shul there. Something happened. He hasn't seen him. I guess he got sick with something. He has a certain machla. All right, we don't know. I walk down the stairs. So what's the first thing I do? Baruch Hashem, I could walk. I walk outside, take a deep breath. Baruch Hashem, you could breathe. Right? Breathe on your own kayak. You don't have to have a tube going through you. Baruch Hashem, you could eliminate. You could do everything. So that's what a person has to feel. He can walk, talk, breathe every second. I call Neshima and Neshima. A person has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has good health. It's not a Pashto Zach today. We see people with Nebuch from all ages, right? All different machlas that are coming up, and new viruses are coming up that came from some of these third world countries that are being Zika virus they're trying to find now some type of vaccination for or bacteria, whatever it is. So we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are healthy. Every morning, we thank Hashem three times for waking up. Three times that you woke up alive. Moedani lefanecha, hamachzi neshamas of korim esim, namavir shenimenu misum yefaboy. It's not a pashto zach. You wake up and your eyes are focused, so you don't have to focus your eyes. Not these digital things you have to focus it. You wake up, your eyes are focused, you can get out of bed right away. You don't have to turn any machines, you don't have to push something, right? You get up right away, you can walk, Baruch Hashem, even if you have a person who has a stiff neck or his leg is bothering him. Baruch Hashem, he could walk. Once, I had a stiff ankle. It was very hard for me to walk. I live two flights below the ground level. So to go to shul, I had to walk up two flights. It's very difficult to walk. You know, you give me a crack to walk. I got to go to shul, got a mincha. When I walk into shul, what do I see? There's a man walking to shul in crutches. He's walking crutches. He strained his ankle. A serious thing. And he has this little cast on his foot. I look at him and say, forget about my ankle. Baruch Hashem, I can walk. I don't have to have crutches. I don't have to have a cast. There's always something that can be worse. So you have to constantly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be happy with what you have and not what you're missing. People always say Baruch Hashem, right? Mean it. Baruch Hashem. Don't just say Baruch Hashem. People say Shkayach. What's Shkayach? Shkayach is that breathing of Yashkochach. You give me the bracha, right? Shkayach means thank you, whatever it is. But at least say the words once. Where Avigdor Miller always very makkah to say Yashkochach. Because that's what he was a kohen also, and gave a bracha. So same thing over here. So if a person says he should take out one Baruch Hashem that he's feeling with, one Emirz Hashem, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's alive and he's well and he's able to be there, whatever he has to do, it's just a pashto zach. So that's the second way. Second thing, being inspired. A person has to be inspired to know that what he has, and he has to appreciate what he has, and whatever he has, he can know it always can be worse, doesn't make a difference. Now, whatever a person is, even if he's sick in bed, no matter what, Baruch Hashem, he's still alive. I can arrange chapa, nocha mitzvah, nocha amen, nocha bracha. It's very interesting, that's the way a person has to live his life. Rabbi Zalik Liskin tells the story of his father, was the Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, that in his last days he was in the hospital, and he had like six tubes running through his body. And somebody came to visit him, and he wouldn't show if she wasn't sure she go in, not go in. Anyway, he walked in and he said, "How are you feeling about my Pliskin?" No complaints. No complaints. What's he complaining about? He's able to live. Baruch Hashem. Living is the big thing. So therefore, if a person calls the mind that a person is alive and he's able to function properly, right? Even if he has a headache, a backache, his foot hurts him, that's not a reason to complain. There are things that are 10 times worse. Baruch Hashem, you're able to live, you're able to breathe, you're able to eliminate, you have a family, you have nachas from your children, from your eniklach. That's what we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Constantly thank Hashem. The third type of inspiration, which I wanted to mention, is being inspired to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by seeing the emptiness and the evilness of the secular world, the non-Torah world. And this is what I mentioned before about the Amalek. Yisrael saw Amalek. What did he see in Melchemes Amalek? Good, it was a war, it was back and forth. But that inspired you? So the Eden won. You know, the Eden won. They were outnumbered, not outnumbered. But Lemaisa, what was the great Gedilah of Melchemes Amalek? So the answer is as follows. As we mentioned before, all the nations trembled. Right? They didn't want to touch the Eden. Amalek went, and they decided to go in. Then jump into the cool of the pot, as Rashi said. Now, it's interesting to note that they were so anti-Eretz, the Yidden, they were willing to die for it. They knew if the marshal Rashi gives, you jump into a pot, you die, right? But they didn't care. They were willing to do it, like the jihads today of the Muslims. They don't care. They're willing to die for their cause, right? There's video clips that go on. I saw once a video clip a few months ago that there was a guy running around with a knife trying to stab people, and a soldier happily walking in the street. And he's 10, 15 feet away from the guy with the gun pointed at him. He said, stop, stop. He doesn't care, he just goes. He had to kill him or else he'd be killed. They don't care. They're willing to kill, to die for their own sake. That's what these people are. There's no way to make peace with them because it's impossible. They're not interested in it. They just want to get the Yidden out and Chas V'Shalom eradicate it from Eretz Yisrael, maybe from the world, and the Christians also, everybody else also. So that's what's Amalek. So therefore, we say, Mochai Timcha Zecha Amalek, Kadosh Baruch Hu said. Why? V'lo Yireya Lekim. They didn't fear God. So what do you mean they didn't fear God? They didn't fear Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you see Mitzvah V'Yiras HaShemayim by Goyim? The answer is that even by a guy, because Baruch Hu fathered, he wants that a guy has to be inspired. If you see something, you have to make a move for it. And this is different. The Mefarshim say that was the Lo Yirei Elokim, they were avowed atheists. They didn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Rambam says in the Geras Teiman that atheism is worse than Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah, she believes something. So he believes something, he can transfer it maybe to believe in Hashem. Atheist believes in nothing, so he's a goner. So therefore, since they were not moved, so we see that we have to eradicate that. Mochai Timcha Ezecha Molech. Zuck. So Yisrael said, how is this possible? How can they do this after they heard Kriyas Yamsuf? And they heard what happened to Mitzrayim. How can they dare attack the Jews? There's something wrong with the Geisha, with the whole Geisha culture. He was a priest, you know, for the Avodah Zarah. He's convinced that without a Torah life, it's useless. And therefore, he decided to convert, to become a Ger. Now, similar event. There are a few similar events that happen. There's a person in Yerushalayim called Usher Wade. I don't know if you heard him speak. Usher Wade was a pastor in Germany in the 1970s. And when he introduces himself, he says, you know, I have, you know, my last name is Wade. It's a glatt kosher Catholic name. He didn't change his last name. But the first name, last name, Usher Wade. Now what happened that he decided to become a ger? In 1978 was the 40th anniversary of Kristallnacht in Germany. And he wanted to know what it was about. So one of the German papers had a whole section, a magazine section about Kristallnacht, and he saw what happened. Some of the details that he mentioned, the three countries, Germany, Austria, and Czechoslovakia, right, in 16 hours alone, they firebombed more than 14,000 Jews, yeshivas and girls' seminaries, they were destroyed. 7,500 Jewish shops were looted and ransacked, and 30,000 were arrested and deported, right, in 16 hours. He asked himself, when did this happen? Look at history. There was no war. It was 10 months before World War II started. There was peace. So how can life go on normal afterwards when they did such an evil thing? How could people notice and keep quiet? It was all in the city, in the populations that was populated. How is it possible with the priests and the clergy and everybody else, all these intellectuals, how could they see something and not say something? He said, in 1933, when the Nazi Party was founded, 65% of the students in medical and law faculty joined them. How is this possible? He didn't understand. So he realized something to do with the Jews. So he started on this path to seek the truth. He went to a senior pastor that used to have like a meeting with him every week in the restaurant. And he started speaking to him about, and he said, what's about these Jews? What's this? So he said, you want to know about the Jews? Read the Bible. So he goes, reads the Bible, right, the Torah, and he sees a lot of things that make sense. And he went back to the pastor and says, why do, as do's and don'ts, but say, let's say, how to lead your life. So it's the truth. He went back to the pastor and he had some more questions. So the pastor said, if you want to know what Christianity is about, read a book called St. Augustine. I don't know what St. Augustine is about. So read the book of St. Augustine. So he opens up a book called St. Augustine. And St. Augustine says, he said a very interesting quote. He says, love God and do as you please. I said, love God and do as you please. Like the rabbis do the same thing. Right? Everything is the name of A-L-L-A-H. And do as you please afterwards. He said, how can that be? So he explains it in modern day terms. The person goes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he goes in Davin, comes to Rice. After Rosh Hashanah Davin, he wants to relax, he goes to the beach and he starts to go for a swim. Right? Do as you please, as long as you love God. So it doesn't make sense. Anyway, he started asking more questions and the pastor saw that he was getting to the truth. He said, do you want to jeopardize your life, your future, for an ancient religion of the do's and don'ts of these Jews? And he realized that this doesn't make sense and the rest is history. So that's what Yisrael said, the same thing. Yisrael said, how can this happen? How could it be that the Goyim is so empty and beside become a Ger Tzedek? There's a similar story told of a person named Joe. Now, in America, if anybody's familiar with the game of baseball, here they play cricket, here they play baseball. So in baseball, it's a long game, and in the middle there's a hafsaka. After the seventh inning, it's called, they have hafsaka, where people just call the seventh inning stretch. You get up, you eat, you walk around, so you don't sit the whole time for 2 or 3 hours without moving. It's like a person goes on an airplane ride for 5 hours. You got to get up, or else your feet just get, you know, they get cramped up and they get stiff. So this person, Joe, was a Jew, but nobody knew who was a Jew. And he was selling all the sweets and all the nash and drinks. They go around that time with the big thing on the shoulders, and they sell these things. And he noticed that every time when this hafsaka came, so the frum yidden would go out. All the religious Jews would go out. He's wondering, what are they doing there the whole time? So he went to follow them one day. So they were davening mincha. Every time, without a stop, without an exception, they always davening mincha at that time. Very impressive, but he still wasn't convinced to become a yid. To become frum, rather. He still remained as whatever, conservative, reform, whatever he was. So what happened afterwards? Afterwards, there was another vendor, another seller in that row that he was, and everybody's huddling around him. And he wants to see what's going on. So he went around to this group, and he saw that he has a $100 bill. And he says, somebody gave me money to change. I thought it was $10. I gave him change for $10. When I came after, I saw it was $100. So I have an extra $90 in my pocket. I have to know, how am I going to find the person? So what's Dr. Gayim? Did anybody come to you? Keep it. What's the free money? You know, what stops the... No. He said, I can't do it. He said, I can't. He was a firm person, by the way. I can't keep the money. Now, so how are you going to find the person? You have, you know, thousands of people in this area. How are you going to find it? You know, I'll find it. He went around from person to person. The person finally found the person, made a Kiddush Hashem, and he gave him back $100, and that was the end of that. What?
$90.
Yeah. No, he got the change before. He got the change before. So he only had to give him back the bill. He got the change of $10 before. So when Joe saw that, he said, this is for real now. You don't see this in any other religion. It has to become from. Came from person. Came from Shabbos Yid. So that's what happened. That's similar to the story of Usher Wade. Right? We have the...
Interesting. That was first.
What?
The first thing he saw Mincha was when Adam Amato. Right.
Right, yeah.
Which is an interesting lesson.
Okay, you'll put it. All right, very good. Have a good kazakh. Now, how does this apply to us? So this is a very interesting zach. I found a Rashi in Parsha Shoftim, Perkut Ches Pasuk Tes. The pasuk says, "Ki ato bo el ha'aretz." When you come to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem lakech ha'nesein loch. La'silmad lasos kasei voisagayim ha'ela ha'heim. Don't learn from the goyim. That Parsha zach. Don't learn from the goyim. Zokt Rashi. You should learn to understand and to teach. You have to learn from the Goyim how much mukulkolim they are. Teach your son. You have to be careful, right? To teach, you have to learn the ways of the Goyim to know what not to do and to tell your children, don't do these ways. Very interesting, Rashi. The world is full of chayshech, it's pleasure seeking. Right, money-making, immorality, stealing and lying. There's an article that somebody once showed me many years ago called The Cheating Game. And the word is as follows. In the olden days, you know, when all of our old-timers here grew up, why do you lie if you can tell the truth? Say it's punkverkehrt. Why tell the truth if you can get away by lying? That's the mentality of the world. You can lie. Rav Westheim, he once wrote an article, in a newspaper about a kashrus incident that they were inspecting a factory and they want to know if there's any milk in the factory. So the owner said, no. Can we inspect it? He says, yeah, go inspect it. So he went to the run looking around, so everything was parv. And he saw a staircase going up to an attic, a room upstairs. He says, what is this about? So go upstairs and see yourself. So he goes upstairs, he looks around, and he sees some sacks. He opens up the sacks, it's white powder. He says, what's this white powder? Well, it's milk powder. But he just told me it's all parv. No, I was lying. If you can get away with it, why not? If nobody would come. You have to be a detective, by the way, for being a good mashkiach. You have to know how to find things out. Another version of the story says is that's company policy. Company policy is company policy. We don't have to tell everything to everybody. I didn't realize what kashrus is. So that's the vart. That's what the Goyish Velt is. So we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not in that world. Right? We find the minhag of kissing mitzvahs for this reason. Sefer Torah, tefillin, tzitzis, a sefer that falls on the floor, a siddur. It's a sign of endearment. We say every day, Baruch HaKeinu, Shabbat L'Chvaydai, V'Evdilonim Natayim, we separate ourselves from going, the people go astray. V'Chayi Olam, eternal life, not HaBesecheinu. So you have to have kavanah that Baruch Hashem, we're in a different world than they are. That's how we have to be inspired for that. Chazal say in Masech Chagiga that the Torah is compared to a darban. A darban is a nail at the end of a rod. Right? It's used to poke cattle or sheep to stay in line. So Chazal say, Masech Chagiga daf gimel amud beis, ma darban zeh mechavin es hapara lislamea. Just like this darban directs the cows to their furrow to plow the right way. Lohaytzi chayim loylan, to bring food to the world. After v'itar mechavdin eslaim deyim midarkei misa darkei chayim. The Torah gives them darkei misa darkei chayim. That's what it's about. This is what you have to have in mind when doing mitzvahs. Kiss the sefer Torah. Asher k'dishana b'mitzvay saf. Every time we say mitzvahs, we say today when we wash our hands. Kadosh Baruch Hu sanctified us with the mitzvahs. He made us happy. It's like escaping from a prison from the Geisha Welt. Right, that we have to be grateful forever. Asher Baruch Hu Mikol Amim V'Nosla Nes Tayrosai. Some examples: a wedding, right? A chasana is what we call a controlled simcha. You're happy, you're joyful, and it's Purim. Most of the people get drunk; they're able to control themselves. There's a book that somebody wrote that David Kaplan called Kira Files, so different stories about yeshuvas. So he has two stories there of a chasana. In one chasana, I'm talking secular chasana. The people took one of the waiters, they brought him into the hall, and they smashed him up because he didn't bring enough drinks to the wedding. Master Shoya, he says, that's what, because they didn't have enough drinks for the wedding. In another incident, when they were ready for the chuppah, they couldn't find the groom, the chasan, looking all over the place. They found him in the toilet in some cubicle over there, drunk. Thus is the guy Shevel. By us, we dance with separate seating, separate dancing. It's not vilkait, it's simcha. One of the experiences is Purim. When a non-frum Jew wants to become frum, he came to a Purim tish, everybody's happy, it's controlled, it's something different, it's not vilkait, it's not hoilus, but it's simcha. When a person, Rav Moshe, you always used to say that people, is an old expression, is fretz zayniyid. Right, the old expression in the United States, when people came there keeping Shabbos and Kashas, it's not Shreitzes Ayniyid. He says that's why many children went off the derech from that generation, because the parents kept saying it's Shver, it's Shver, it's Shver. It's Zisus Ayniyid. It's good to Ayniyid. Right? There's nothing wrong with it. That's part of the Mesirus Nefesh to become a Yid. We pay extra for mezuzahs. Baruch Hashem, money's going for a mitzvah. For Lulav and Esrog every year. This year was cheap because it was Shemitah, but next year prices are going back to normal. So what's going to happen? You have to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu. That Baruch Hu, we have to get the Dal Minim. In Europe, they had one Lulav and Esrog, two of them for the whole town. Here, the Shefa. Pesach food always gets more expensive. The matzahs, we're complaining. Why are we complaining so much? People, how much do women spend on wedding gowns? Or a new outfit? Every chasna, they have to have a new gown. Right? Fortunes of money, extravagant vacations. They go away with the family, Eretz Yisrael. Say it's a mitzvah, go to a mitzvah. All these vacations, family cars. And every time they're upgrading their high-tech device, whether it's a smartphone or something else, and the tablets, a new one came out. The Altvart is that when you buy a smartphone or a tablet, before you walk out of the shop, there's a new version out already. They always keep rooting and rooting. So you want to get the new one. So and you don't say anything about the price. This is what you have to get. So when it comes to mitzvahs, why are we complaining about these things? We're buying with the money, Olam Haba. It's Nitzios, it's eternity, and we have to be happy that's within our reach. We always have to say, when we spend something, money for something, Abi Gazon, the old expression, what's Abi Gazon? Baruch Hashem, we're healthy, spending money, it's not going to medical bills. Because Chazal say, Mesechta Bava Basra, that's just like a person with Zaynoisav, it's Kasuvim. It's determined in Rosh Hashanah. Kach Chesrei Noisav, how much he's supposed to lose? So if you're supposed to lose a certain amount of money, not to have that money in your pocket, better to do it for mitzvahs, give for more tzedakah, whatever it is, do that. Because if you don't, it's going to come out somehow. Somehow come out, you'll lose, a person will lose it a different way. He can break his glasses. That's all a simple thing. Glasses can fall down, they can break, he can lose some money. Something else can break, a wash machine breaks, all of a sudden, you don't know what happened. A beer costs money. So if a person would have given money for tzedakah, because Baruch would make that, he wouldn't lose the money in that way. Somebody once told me that they were late in giving miser. They had a Maisa Cheshvan, they were just late, you know, procrastinating, weiter. Then they had a medical bill for one of their children, and they had to be mishtata, they had to pay in a little bit by themselves. So it came out to Cheshvan, the person told me that the money that they paid for the medical bill was the same money that they owed for Maisa. Almost the same thing. It happens many, many times that people give money for Maisa, right? If you don't give the money for Maisa, it comes out a different way. So we put all of this together, we see that we have a more meaningful and practical life and a moral life with directions from the time we wake up, the time we say Madani, till the time we go to sleep, until we have 120 years, as the expression goes, from cradle to grave. We always have to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu and be inspired by what happens around us. So just to summarize the three major points that I spoke about, when we get inspired, first we should find ways to keep it. Don't let it go. If you let it go, it's going to be gone. Right? Like Kli Zchuchis, Lech L'Avdam. Like Kli Zchuchis. You have to find ways to do it, or else it'll just be something of the past. Secondly, you have to notice what we have and constantly thank Kodesh Baruch what we have and not what we're missing. And third, we have to look at the emptiness of the world and thank Kodesh Baruch and be happy that we're sharing with Shabbos and observing Torah observing Yidden. Thank you very much.
Beast. You're putting in the fear of God into everybody. Hell and heaven, a brimstone of fire that you're talking about.
What?